Before very long, there rushed down from the land a violent wind called Euroquillo. And when the ship was caught in it and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and let ourselves be driven along. Say, driven along. Say a little louder, driven along. And running under the shelter of a small island called Clauda, we were scarcely able to get the ship's boat under control. And after they had boisted it and used the supporting cables in undergirding the ship, and fearing that they might run aground on the shallows of Syrtis, they let down the sea anchor, or actually one of the translations is they let down the sail, and so let themselves be driven along. Say, driven along. It says, the next day, we were being violently storm-tossed. They began to jettison the cargo, and on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their hands. And since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, say, dark place. It says, and no small storm was assailing us. From then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. And when they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in the midst and said, men, you ought to have followed my advice and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. And yet now, I urge you to keep up your courage, for there shall be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night, an angel of God, to whom I belong, I like that, and whom I serve, stood before me saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. Say, Rome. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you and all these who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have told you. But we must run aground on a certain island. So I want to share this word for the next few moments. I want to talk about the resilient power of faith and hope. The resilient power of faith and hope. The word resilient means to rebound readily. It also has a connotation or a definition with it of recovering readily from adversity, depression, or the like. I recognize that often in our lives, and maybe for many of you, you're finding yourself in a place where you're just bombarded and you're trying to figure out how this is going to work, how this is going to come together. You may just be tired, just straight up tired. I'm tired. I'm wore out. Trusting God, believing God, but you're not seeing it come together. You believe that you've heard a word from God. You've heard a word from God. But you're saying, but I don't know how this is going to happen because everything around me right now seems to look somewhat kind of strange in light of what I've heard. Proverbs 13 and 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so you can go a while where you're just, as it said with Paul and them, all hope just kind of dissipated. Because you can hope and you can hope and you can hope and you can hope. But if you're not seeing what you're hoping for after a while, that hope starts to wane. In Psalms 27, David is speaking. And you understand in Psalm 27, when it starts out, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid when my enemies come upon me? He's talking about, I'm still running for my life. But I'm the guy who got the prophetic word that was anointed with the oil by Samuel to be king. But I'm out here, I'm running for my life. I'm running from this group. I'm running from this group. I'm running from Saul. And in the midst of the challenge for him, it's in Psalms 27, 13 and 14. It says this, I would have despaired unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What he's saying there is, I'm still holding on though. I would have given up except that I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, meaning that God's goodness is still going to be manifested in my life, but right now it just doesn't look that way. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You feel like you're in a season where it ain't looking good. Come on, let's be honest. Can anybody say it ain't looking good right now? How many of you say it ain't feeling good right now? And the truth be known, I'm looking at God kind of one-eyed, like what is going on here? What is going on here? Come on, let's be real. We all can find ourselves in those seasons, and you may find yourself there now. This is where the resilient power of faith and hope has to kick in order for you and I to be able to get to the place that God intends for us to be in. There are a number of factors that come into play. Faith and hope are connected. That's why in Hebrews 1 it says, now faith is the assurance or the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. It says, for by it men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. So that what is seen, the worlds were prepared by the word of God. So that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. There is the creative power of God's word to build constructs. That same creative power is on the inside of you and I. That's why you have to always manage what you say. Because our word creates constructs. That's why it's written in Proverbs. It says death and life is in the power of the tongue. If things aren't looking good in your world, you've got to ask yourself a question. What have you been saying? What have I been saying? Have I been adding? Have I been contributing to what's not happening? Or have I been speaking faith-filled words? Have I been staying in a place of faith? In Paul's writing, one of the things that I noticed there is that it says that they were being driven. They were being driven. They were being driven along. And I know that there is a book out, Purpose-Driven Life. Ministries have that in the name of their ministry. But nothing about God is driven. We are led by the Spirit, not driven by the Spirit. Now, except for and I thank God for the Holy Spirit who just kind of downloads things. Except that in one translation it says that Jesus was driven into the wilderness, but literally he was led. And our lives are supposed to be a Spirit-led life. They that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. That sons of God really speaks to a place of maturity, Bonnie. It speaks to a place of maturity in God that we arrive in. So even when things aren't looking right, we still are in that place of being led by the Spirit. That's what Paul is talking about. But there's the seasons that we go through where it really does look crazy. It gets crazy. When you read in Lamentations, some say that the author of Lamentations was Jeremiah, but the book of Lamentations is just a sorrowful, sad book. It has to do with the destruction of Jerusalem. And there's this place that the author goes of like, you know, this is woe is me, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. But then something happens that in Lamentations 3:21 through 26, it says this, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope." This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. One of the things that we need as a discipline in our lives is a renewed mind, a renewed thinking. I want to tell you this, if you do not have a disciplined life in the Word of God, it's going to be hard for your mind to be renewed daily. If you don't have a disciplined time of worship spent in the presence of God, it's going to be hard for your mind to be renewed. The writer says, "This I recall to mind, this I remember, therefore I have hope." And what he's saying is, I kind of got in this place, and I started thinking about some things. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. Our hope is in him. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The resilient power of faith and hope is key to you and I to keep going and manage the stuff that's showing up. One of the blessings of the prophetic in our lives is it has the ability to help us in those dark seasons. It's in 1 Peter 1, if you're still following along, go to 1 Peter 1. And let's see, 1 Peter 1, verse 29. Back in the day, you could hear the pages turning. Those days are long gone. You used to be able to hear the pages turning, Bobby, when everybody was following along. So I choose to believe that you're right with me, that you're following along, even though I can't hear it. I can't hear anything. But if you're following along, just say amen. 1 Peter 1, let's see. And let's see. No, that's not where I want to be. But that's a great passage. That was for somebody, so just act like that was for you. All right, you going to take that, Pappy? Good. Second Peter 1, verse 19. It says, and we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So let me go back again. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. See, that's a key to the resilient power of faith and hope. What has God said to you? What is he saying to you? That's what you must stir up. That's what you must hold on to. That's what you must be anchored in while everything around you is shaking. That's why Paul, in his writing, he says to them, he says, it's going to be okay. But the reason why he says it's going to be okay is because the angel came and assured him. The angel came and assured him, not just with the word that he gave him, but reminded him of another word that he received that's found in Acts 23 and verse 11. In Acts 23 and verse 11, now Paul is before the council there, and you have to recognize that Paul is running for his life. Every time he turns around, somebody's trying to beat him, somebody's trying to stone him, somebody's trying to put him in jail, somebody's trying to kill him. But it's in Acts 23 and verse 11, it says this, but on the night immediately following, the Lord stood at his side and said, take courage, for as you have solemnly witnessed to my cause at Jerusalem, so you must witness at Rome also. What was he saying? He's saying, Paul, you're going to Rome. Paul, you're going to Rome. Paul, you're going to Rome. What has God said to you that's about your future that he wants to remind you of, wants you to recall, remember, so that it becomes illumination for you while you're in this cloudy, dark season of uncertainties? You're lost in his will, but you're found in his grace. But you're holding his hand, still seeking his face, anchored in the safety of the secret place, lost in his will, but found in his grace. See, some of the things that God has called us to do, you don't have all the answers. And when people try to press you for those answers, you need to say, I don't know, and just leave it right there. Paul is wrestling with the reality, and the angel comes to him and says, now, Paul, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. What's he reminding him of? He's reminding him of that word that said, you must go to Rome. He's telling him, you're going to get to Rome. He said, and what these guys don't know, what these guys don't know is that they are going to be safe because of you. Sometimes your blessing is connected to somebody else. Just look at the people around you and say, are you the one? Or should I look for another? No, don't say that part. Paul, when he's talking, Paul's agitated because he's saying, if y'all would have listened to me, we'd have never been in this mess. We'd have been safe at port. And that happens. It happens with all of us. We get in that moment, we kind of get in the flesh. We have to navigate through it. But there is a place for us in God to help us manage that place as well. When we're challenged by the situation as much as everybody else. But somebody's got to be the one to remind all of us what God said. That's why it's good to be able to be together and to encourage one another. Sometimes you just need somebody to say or remind you, but didn't you tell me? But how many of you be honest enough to say, sometimes you don't want to hear anybody reminding you in that moment. Yeah, I know what I said. I don't need you to tell me what I said. And yet they're trying to encourage you. But wait a minute. But you said, God said. You said, God said. This situation was so bad that it needed somebody to step in, and the angel stepped in and said to Paul, listen, what the word that came to you, you're still going to fulfill that. In order to get you there, we're going to keep all of this going. Tell the guys, everybody's going to make it. But they need to know this. Everybody needs to stay in the boat. See, sometimes when things are looking crazy, people just jump ship. It's challenging. It's challenging as a pastor. But you learn to deal with it. Because nothing is ever, particularly when you're walking out faith and you're walking out kingdom, nothing ever goes as smoothly as you would like it to go. There's always going to be some faith opportunities built in it. I like that. There's always going to be some faith processes, Pastor Nina, that we have to make a decision. Paul could have been like everybody else on the boat and said, I don't care about going to Rome. I'm just trying to get somewhere. Can we land somewhere? They're throwing everything off the ship that they can. And when you read through it, you'll see at one point they decided they were going to kill everybody so nobody would escape. Now, how many know that's desperation? Somebody needs to have the resilient power of faith and hope working to speak into the situation. And that's what I'm trying to do for many of you today. Part of the key is recognizing that God will always fulfill his word. He will always fulfill his word. He is always fulfilling his word. It's in Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Now, starting at verse, verse 9. This is from the Message Bible. So the Message Bible is more of a commentary than it is a translation, okay? But it says this: I'm sure that won't happen to you, friends. I have better things in mind for you, salvation things. God doesn't miss anything. He knows perfectly well all the love you've shown him by helping needy Christians. And that you keep at it. And now I want each of you to extend the same intensity towards a full-bodied hope and keep at it till the finish. Don't drag your feet. Be like those who stay the course with committed faith and then get everything promised to them. When God made his promise to Abraham, he backed it to the hilt, putting his own reputation on the line. He said, I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have, bless and bless and bless. Abraham stuck to it and got everything that God promised to him. A little further, it says this: God can't break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. When we read that about Abraham, I'm bringing this to a close now. When we read that about Abraham, one of the things, though, that's a dynamic for all of us, is that Abraham he had to wrestle with his reality versus the word given him. And you may find yourself in that place. God's put a dream in your heart. God has spoken something to you. He's spoken something to you through a prophet. A prophetic word has come to you. And you're trying to navigate through what was just said in light of how your life looks right now. And I'm telling you, it can be something that's challenging and stifling if you're not able to allow that word to recalibrate your world, your thinking. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world. Be not conformed to your world. Be not conformed to your situation. Be not conformed to your experiences, but transform by the renewing of your mind. Transform by the renewing of your mind. Transform by the renewing of your mind that you may perform what is the good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God. Because hear me, God will always come to you, speak to you, and it won't be based on what your life looks like today. He's not going to come to you and say, now I'm just going to give you a word that I believe you can handle because I know you don't have the money. I'm going to give you a vision right now, but I'm going to keep it in because I know you're struggling right now. No, that's not what he's going to do. I remember one time very, 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 very long ago. Married with kids, struggling, trying to make it. It's back in the day when you went to mom or dad and borrow some money, just you get to payday, that kind of thing. And I remember this was back in the day when they had insurance people that came to your house, to get the insurance premium. Anybody remember those days? Some of y'all, come on, don't act like y'all don't know. I used to be one of those insurance people, went by and they paid you the premium. I used to sell insurance. Sometimes on your way to purpose and destiny, you'll do a lot of things. I just want to encourage some of you. Don't think where you're at is where you're going to have to stay, but you're going to have to keep moving. Yeah. So I've done a lot of different things, and I'm sure for my wife and others, it looked kind of crazy. It's part of the journey. It's part of the journey. I remember walking to my mom's house, and I'm up there, can I hold 20 till Friday or whatever? The insurance guy's there. But the insurance guy happens to be a minister in his church. And mom being proud of, my son's in ministry. So she starts telling him about me. I'm like, Mom, I'm up here trying to get a few dollars. You don't need to be knowing nothing about, And all of a sudden, all of a sudden, he starts prophesying to me. He starts prophesying to me. And he says, and I see you, and I see God doing some things, and I see you writing books. And now, in my mind, in my right then, my life, the way it was right then, I wasn't hearing anything he was saying. As a matter of fact, I said, he a false prophet. I ain't even thought about writing no books. Now, if he'd have said, I see you writing songs, I said, oh, okay, yeah, I'd pray. This is God, this is God. But he's talking about, I see you writing songs, writing books. And I said, Mom, can I get my money and go? You know, I mean, I'm like, I'm, you know. I said, God bless you, that kind of thing. I've written 3 books. Yeah, somebody clap with Shayla. I've written 3 books. Got 3 more to work on. What am I saying to you? God can speak a word to you. God will speak a word to you that's beyond your current situation. And the key is going to be what we're talking about here. The resilient power of faith and hope. Meaning, hear me now, God will speak a word to pull you out of that despair, pull you out of that despondency, pull you out of that place of lack in order to set you on the course of where he wants to take you. And when God was speaking this word to Abraham, for a moment, now just for a moment, he had to kind of wrestle with what the situation looked like. It says this, and I'm reading, and I'm bringing this to a close. Now, I'm not one of those kind of people to do 7 closings, so don't worry. Romans 4, 16 through 25. It says, therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also of those who have faith, the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written. And I'm so excited because Pappy is a Jewish gentleman, and the things that we're beginning to talk about and share is starting to bridge some things for us. It's starting to bridge. That's what, it would be like God to say, I'm going to open an embassy. But I'm not opening it up just for church folk. I'm going to bring in a Jewish guy with a vision to bring healing to a community and to an area. We're getting to know each other. We had a great time last night. We were eating Smoky Bones at my house. And he was, yeah. We had a good time. He is the father of us all. And as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. Says the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being those things that were not. We like to quote that scripture. Call those things that be not as though they were. Call those things that be not as though they were. Call those things that be not as though they were. It sounds great. And he wants us to do that, but he wants us to stay the course till we see the fulfillment of what we've called into existence. And one of the challenges oftentimes is we stop short. See, Paul could have just given up in that boat. But Paul stood up in courage, he stood up in faith, and he instilled hope in everybody again. We're going to make it. The boat's not going to make it, but we're going to make it. Because I got to get to Rome. I'm supposed to be preaching. Caesar's going to hear a word from me. God has a message. God has a message for the people in Hamilton. God has a message. And it's not a denominational message. It's a kingdom message. And that's why we are tracking through and dealing with some of the challenges that we're facing right now. Now, I said this on last week, and I held it pretty close. See, many don't recognize that the moment you head that direction, be ready for the challenges. For Paul, it's in the boat. It's the storms. It's the darkness. But some of y'all know since we got here, it's like all hell broke loose and let everything out that it could to come after us, personally as well as corporately. But what I'm choosing to do is like Paul, stay focused on what God said and what he's saying. Many of you are not aware. Last week, how many of y'all were here for Koinonia? Let me see your hands. Glory to God. Wasn't that a great time? Come on, thank the Lord for that great time. Yeah. What many of you don't know is the 3 days before Koinonia. That on Thursday, there was a storm that poured through here unlike any other storm. It flooded our basement with 10 feet of water, and water rushed out into the hallways of this building. Water was all in the cafe area. And for 3 days, we cleaned it up and got it out of here. Because my disposition was this. When people show up on Sunday, I don't want them to even know that there was ever anything that happened in this building. Because we don't want to give the enemy any credit. Now, so hear me. What I'm saying to you, though, is that the same way Paul had to keep it straight, it's the same way you've got to keep it straight. It's the same way I've got to keep it straight. And no matter, and the bigger the vision, the greater the advancement in the kingdom, the greater the opposition you're going to deal with, Rod. And you have to know that. You have to recognize that God has well fitted us for battle. That's why in Ephesians it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. The challenge for some of us is we're not wearing everything. We just ain't got everything on. And the challenge is once you get it on, you don't take it off when you go to bed. You sleep in it. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your loins are girded about with truth. You got on the breastplate of righteousness. You got on the helmet of salvation. You have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and you have the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Some of us are getting hit over and over and over and over again because you haven't learned the power, the resilient power of faith and hope. So people ask me, they say, how you doing? I'm doing fine. Whereas Pappy says, blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed and highly favored. Doesn't mean I'm not dealing with some things. Doesn't mean you're not dealing with some things. But it doesn't change that you're blessed and highly favored. This is what it says concerning Abraham. It says this, without being weak in faith, talking about Abraham, without being weak in faith, he faced, say contemplated, come on, say thought about it. Yeah. The fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was already dead. Here's what I want to get, the point I want to get across. See, because when things happen or word comes to us that's beyond us, in the natural, our minds are going to go a certain place around that word. We will wrestle with that word. And hear me when I tell you, God's okay with you wrestling as long as you don't allow whatever's wrestling against his word to win. And the only way it will win is that you let it win, because his word will always stand. You surrender to that thing that is contending for the purpose and destiny for which God has called you to. And you never want to do that. So for this moment, Paul, he's struggling with the fact. He has to deal with his flesh. He has to deal with his thoughts because everything is just it's a mess. And he says, now, if you would have just listened to me, if you'd have just listened to me, we'd have never been in this situation. And he was right, but he couldn't stay there. He couldn't stay there. And yet, that's our framework as well. Often, you're going to have to navigate through that. My thing is, navigate through it quickly. Navigate through it quickly. I'm up in my office on that Thursday. I get a call, said, you need to come down here right now. There's water rushing out into the hallways. I come down, water is pouring into the halls. That hall, the hall behind us, the hall over there. The wonderful thing is, the water never came here. It never came into this sanctuary. It never came into this auditorium. When I came off that elevator, I'm looking at people scurrying, and the water at that point's about 2 inches. And it's pouring in. It ain't stopping. Now, I did pray. I went up, I looked out the window. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to stop. I believe in that kind of power. I believe in that kind of power. When I came down and I looked and people were scurrying and people were trying to, now I don't know where they were going to try to get the water to go because the water just kept coming. But I stood there and in that moment, I remember something that I've taught and continue to teach as a kingdom principle. When you're dealing with a situation like that or anything that just kind of comes out of nowhere, larger than you, bigger than you. You don't know what to do. This is the principle that I've taught. It's a kingdom principle. One, you assess the situation. Two, you accept the challenge that the situation presents. Three, you access the power of the kingdom. And four, you actively engage in the matter. And all in that moment, that's exactly what I did. I walked down that hall in that water. I said, tell everybody stop. I appreciate you ladies trying to help, brush stuff. Don't worry about it. Go home. I don't need anybody slipping and falling, having to deal with that. We're going to handle it. Lady said, will we be able to work tomorrow? I said, yeah. By the next day, they were able to come to work. I was on a mission, my son Chris and I. A couple other people. Angel. Dave. We did whatever it took. There's a few other folk. To make sure by the time many of you got here, you had no clue. But isn't that just like God for us? Isn't that just like God for us? You think you're going to have to deal with something, and he says, I got this. You stay focused on me. You keep your eyes on me. Since he thought about his body, he thought about Sarah's body. Then it says, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. What's it saying? I'm challenged a little bit now because I stuff ain't been working for a long time. Sarah's old too. But I'm not going to doubt what you said. Yet he did not waver, did not doubt. There was no unbelief regarding the promise, but was strengthened in faith, gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, so get this. Here, we're done. What does it mean when it says it was credited to him as righteousness? What it's saying is this, in light of what he knew to be his reality, he still was willing to accept, embrace that word and align himself with that word. And that alignment, because righteousness has to do with right standing before God. You and I walk in, live in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The moment he said, I recognize this is the reality, but I'm still going with God on this, he landed in that place of righteousness in God. And that's my encouragement to us. That's my encouragement to you. No matter where you find yourself, no matter how challenging it looks, remind yourself of God's faithfulness in your life. Remind yourself of God's faithfulness to his word. Align yourself with what he has said and what he is saying. And know this, that which he has spoken will come.